As Victoria reopens, the question now turns to how best to ensure a third wave of infections is avoided. In other parts of the country, state governments have created free QR code scanning systems to help businesses record the contact details of customers on arrival. Victorian officials have reportedly opted not to go down that path as yet, and at his news conference yesterday, the Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews threw his support behind businesses opting to continue with traditional pen and paper record keeping.
There'll be a mixture of some businesses that will write things down, and that'll be perfectly adequate. The
It's so easy for something to go wrong for someone to write it, someone's number down. They could easily get it wrong.
You've got a much greater faith in IT than me, it seems. I think that often old-fashioned ways are the best way, and there'll be many, many small businesses who will write down, and they will take great pride.
The problem with our contact tracing in the first place was that it was pen and paper.
No, and if you have a go and ask New South Wales how much pen and paper they use, and I think you might find that some of the criticisms that you level against Victoria are not accurate.
So that is the Victorian Premier Daniel Andrews yesterday saying that sometimes the old-fashioned way is the best way. The owner of the Chadstone Shopping Centre and 20 other centres across Victoria is introducing its own methods, including heat mapping and digital queuing. Are QR codes the answer to keeping track of movements as the state reopens, or are they more trouble than they're worth? Professor Vijay Varadharajan is the Director of the Advanced Cybersecurity Engineering Research Centre at the University of Newcastle and joins me now. Professor, I appreciate your time this afternoon. Now, I think most of us would be familiar with QR codes, those funny-looking barcodes that you point your phone camera at and a website pops up. How do they work?
Hello, Glenn. Pleasure to be here. Look, QR codes have been around for many years. You know, I think mid-90s, I think they first started. Yeah, basically what you do is you point your camera as a scanner on the QR codes, and effectively the QR codes contain some information that could be static or dynamic, but let's say they contain some URL. And then when you point your camera to it, it takes you to a URL website at the back end. And then you would register your details. For instance, typically you put your name and usually your phone number, contact number, and maybe an email address or something. But those are usually the name and the phone number are the two important ones for contact tracing. That's how basically they work. And the data is stored in the database somewhere at the back end, and you keep a collection of this. And if somebody, let's imagine a local business has its own back end, and it stores the data for all the visitors who come in for a certain period of time, let's say over, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks period. And then if somebody is tested, the way it works in contact tracing is somebody is tested positive, then the health officials will let you know, the local business will let the local business know, and then the local business can actually send the whole data set from their back end to the health officials, and then they can do the contact tracing. That's the normal benign way that it works. Of course, there are some security problems, but this is the way generally it works.
Yeah, so in terms of those security problems, you just mentioned that our details are stored on a database somewhere in the background. Is there a concern that it could be open to potential hacking and the risk of your details going somewhere you don't want them to go?
Yeah, well, first of all, with respect to contract tracing, usually what gets recorded, let's say your first name and your phone number, those are the two main things, right? The phone number is the most important one, and the time, you were there at that particular place, the day and date of the time. Now, the back end, so the back end stores this information. The question is, where is the back end? So there are multiple options for it. One is the back end might be, if it's a local business, it might have its own back end, or a bunch of pubs might get together and they may share the back end server, or it may be a third party or a cloud or a government, it doesn't matter who. I mean, there could be another party, commercial or government, a third party, which may have the back end, so which may be shared between multiple businesses. So yes, security issues arise in the following ways. I think one at the back end, but before going to the back end, there's also a front end. There is a security issue. That is, you see, you've got to be very careful that the QR code only takes you to the legitimate website. So that's the most important thing. If the QR code is tampered with, or in other words, it is not the right QR code, let's say I'm in a local business, but I have the QR code and there's a malicious thing there, so it takes me back to a malicious website, then it can affect the consumer, because what when the consumer enters, uses his or her mobile phone to write, enter the details, let's say the phone number, some malware might be downloaded, or it may go to a phishing site and it may collect information. That's at the front end. At the back end, yes, remember, the only information that it gets stored is the phone number and the first name, which may not be necessarily the right first name, but some name, but the phone number is the most important thing. And that's what gets stored in the database. And now the database itself, there's the option nowadays to encrypt those data, the data. So in other words, the data is protected in the database server when it, where it resides. And if somebody is found positive, COVID positive, then the encrypted data set is sent to the local health officials and then it can be decrypted. So it is possible to protect the backend. It is possible to minimize the amount of data that gets stored there, for instance, the phone number and the name and the date and the time. But it is important to ensure at the front end that there is no tampering. In other words, it is the right legitimate site it goes to. So there are security protections possible, but of course, with any technology, there's always potential for attacks to happen.
Yeah, well, back when the government released its COVID Safe app, there was all sorts of criticism around potential for data breaches with that. But people seem, certainly from what I've seen, quite comfortable using QR codes to insert their details at venues. How different is it? I mean, is a QR code safer than the COVID Safe app?
Well, the first thing is the QR code, the only information that gets stored is your phone number, right, with the date and the time, rather than any other details, right? In that sense, there's a limited amount of information that gets stored compared to, the apps what we were talking about previously. But there are also, that itself is first thing. Second thing is it is convenient in the sense that we don't need to write our data in when you go to the local business, the restaurant or pub, because we'll be using pens and papers and stuff like that. So we'll be using other people's pens, and many people might be using the same pen. That's one issue. Second issue is, when we have the data stored and written down pen and paper, yes, it works, sure. But there is potentially, depends upon the clientele you have a number of them, and for many days, and sometimes we have books and books of these data, and then it needs to be given to the local health official when things go wrong, and we got to, that there's always a possibility of sometimes local businesses write it on pieces of paper rather than on books, so there are possibilities of things getting going astray. That's a problem. But what your question is, why didn't we use the COVID Safe app? But why are the consumer using or preferring to use there's a greater prevalence of this QR codes? Because I think the main thing is the QR code, the actual information it takes is pretty much very simple. The phone number and the date and the date and the time is already there, but usually your phone number and some name. That's probably one reason. Second reason is you have not got anything in your mobile phone. You see, the COVID Safe app, you downloaded something into your your machine, right? And that was an issue. And I mean, that was based on a completely different technology, Bluetooth, and we were doing it every 50 minutes. Lots of issues. I wrote a paper as to what are the problems with it. But there are probably, many such apps have got such issues. But this one is, but having said that, I think the fundamental issue to watch out for, and especially if we are in a hurry, sometimes we go to a restaurant, we want to get in and sit down and start having dinner. We've got to be careful when you show the camera onto this and make sure the website it goes to looks legitimate, and that's a problem for us to determine whether it is legitimate or not, because especially we are seeing it in the mobile phone, and maybe we may only see the partial amount of it, the URL, so we may not know. But that is the responsibility of the owners, that is the local business owners, to ensure that the QR code that they have does lead to legitimate website. That is the responsibility of the provider. For the consumer, we need to make sure we do not want to enter any more details that is necessary. That means just the phone number and possibly some name, so that when they ring you, they can talk to you, and that's it. So, but by the way, there are also other precautions you can take. For instance, there are some scanners. You know what we do is we point the camera at the code. And that means that our mobile phone has some sort of application, which is a reader, application reader. So there are companies which do these applications, which prevent. So when it reads it, it makes sure that I can embed security mechanisms there to say, oh, it is not going to a bad website. I can check it. There are blacklists I can have. That's the way they do it. So there are a couple of companies we do that. So, you know, the security thing, it's what happens is technology is almost like, you know, you can use a knife to butter your toast and to kill somebody or to hit, you know, injure somebody. Same thing, you know, every technology, there is another side, one side, you know, two sides to the coin. But in this case, in my view, the QR code, if the provider ensures the legitimate, it goes to the legitimate website, that is his or her responsibility. From a consumer point of view, there is convenience, and you cannot tamper the code if it is on the piece of paper, right? Let's say, you know, you go to a restaurant that's stuck on the, I don't know, on the window or on the table. They usually they place it on the table when you enter. So the, if you want, as a consumer, what you can do, well, you've got to make sure that, you know, there's something is not, the another way of cheating is there's another code stuck on top of this paper code. So if it is not, you know, so that you can check, right? Just, you know, barrier. If that's you can check and ensure that it goes to a somewhat legitimate website. I mean, let's say somewhat legitimate website you need to check before you enter your details. That's your consumer's responsibility. Provider's responsibility to ensure that the code that they have got, because these codes are generated and given to you, and you make sure that do only go back to the legitimate website. And the database server, the third component, there is, yes, if the questions are very standard questions, how long the information is stored for. In this case, the information is the name and the mobile phone number. How are they stored? Well, they are stored in plain form or in encrypted form. And you know, when do I get rid of them, delete them? I mean, usually it's 28 days. There are companies like, I don't want to name, you know, there are some companies which ensure, you know, these are protected. To, you know, they claim a little bit more, they give you a bit more privacy in the sense of the data that they store, that the phone number and the name they store is encrypted so that other people cannot see it. So there are you know, little, you know, plugins and stuff like that we can do to improve the security. Yeah?
All right, Professor, we appreciate your time this afternoon.
Thanks, Glenn.
That is Professor Vijay Varadharajan, the Director of the Advanced Cybersecurity Engineering Research Centre at the University of Newcastle.